Welcome into the Aloe Communications Studios. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you want to get at us today, 888-530-0043. What'd you guys think of the home run derby last night? I take it back. I was more excited about it, Jades, but it wasn't really like that. I couldn't get into it. I mean, it was all right. I don't like the camera angle. I couldn't tell if they were hitting home runs. I kept looking at the counter. The counter was like 3 seconds behind everything. The sound was off for a little bit, so you'd hear the crack of the bat before the actual home run. Not their best work. Not their best work.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It definitely wasn't the best home run derby, but I thought it was one of the most entertaining.
I thought it was going to be. Albert Pujols surviving into the second round was weird.
The swing off too. I thought it was all, it was like storybook written for him. I feel like.
Yeah. And Alonso didn't look sharp necessarily. I mean, he struggled, and even in the round that he won, he didn't look great. I know I'm not a scientist, but they got to figure out a different angle as far as how they film this thing, because the whole shot, you know, on the ground facing up and to the left, you can't tell if it's a home run. The magic of seeing a home run when you're watching baseball is seeing the ball go into the stands. And I know that's hard to do, but man, I just figure with all this technology, we're getting ready to replace the home plate umpires with robots. We should be able to get some better camera angles.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it, in their defense, I'm not, there's not much to it.
I don't know
but
what you could do. I'm just,
the LA Stadium's backdrop too is just awful. Just the like dirt, like the weeded field in the back. Like it's just kind of difficult. I mean, the ball kind of blended in a little bit. Like for the center field,
it's kind of
shot.
A hard place to hit home runs anyway.
Right?
So I don't know. I guess if I'm picking all-star games, I'm just saying, what is the easiest to film? What's the easiest to hit home runs? Because that's what you're there for. Don't worry, though. If you missed the home run derby last night, you could have a chance at a home run derby again because of what we're going to be doing with the rules. MLB all-star game to be decided by a home run derby if tied after 9 innings. So, okay. What?
Let's go to extras.
Just go to extras.
Well, I want to see it.
Yeah. Or tie now, because it doesn't matter. Who's going to be, who will be in, Pete Alonso on one side, right? And then, I don't know. It's just goofy to me. This is why all-star games are so weird, because we just get, we try to throw out all this, you know, throw out all these different ideas, different creative ideas, and it is what it is. But we've got the all-star game tonight. Then we'll take a couple of days off back to baseball. But it was full, you liked it. It was full of all the drama for you. Do you like how all the players like were fanning and swooning surrounding Albert Pujols? Like all the youngsters came up and they're like, "Oh my!" I was like, "Come on, what are we? We're still in a competition here. Let the guy breathe." You know, all these young guys coming up to him. I thought they were going to start asking for autographs.
No, and that's how it's going to be with Miguel Cabrera tonight too. Yeah. It's just kind of the name of the game,
I guess. This again, it's like all-star games are basically just little vacations for the players to get together and hang out and be with legends and stuff like that. And I guess, again, I'm not arguing it, because if there's money behind it and you're making money doing it, then go for it. You know, there's not, I'm not going to change that. But Soto won $1 million on Monday, and now he's probably going to make a lot more. You know, there was trade rumors right before the week. You know, he was offered the contract from the Nationals, 15-year, $440 million contract extension, but he turned it down, betting on himself, I guess. I just think it's funny, because you said this at the startup, you know, like one of your hypotheses, one of your theories is now stock just went up. And I'm like, why? Why would he? And I get it. I don't disagree with you. I think his stock is going to go up. But based on what you did in the home run derby, not the games, but your stock's going to go up based on what you did in the home run derby.
Right. And a lot of people know, but there's like a myth that I was telling you about. A lot of people hypothesize that they're going to have like the second season after players compete, or second half of the season, I should say, after players compete in the home run derby is going to be pretty poor compared to their performance so far. And just a quick stat for that contract extension, too. I mean, that was going to make him 15th highest paid amongst active players.
Why didn't
players.
He take it?
Because it was only 15th, I guess.
I guess.
And I use only as a light term, but he was only going to be the 10th highest batter.
Oh, okay. I mean, how old is he? Like, dude, he's a young man, you know, and it's just crazy. 23? Is he 23 years old? Second youngest Derby champ. Just a day older than Gonzalez was, and when he was at 93. Wow. Listen, it was all right. I mean, the Derby itself was okay. I was kind of building it up in my mind more, but I think I do that every year where I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And they're hitting home runs left and right, but you're not – if I don't get to witness it the full way through, like imagine slam dunk contest, but we're filming it from like half court. You know, like we're not getting to see right up there when the dunk takes place. The home run, you rarely actually see the ball go into the stands. You watch the little tracker behind it, and then you see, oh, there's one. Like three hits later, they finally track it. I don't know. And I guess, I don't. What do you do? How do you get creative and figure out how to make it like more enjoyable watching it on your TV?
Well, a lot of people think we should go back to the outs too, because it's slower pace. It's not just home, like just batted ball after batted ball. You have a little bit more time to like kind of recollect. 10 outs, you don't hit a home run, it's an out. But I mean, there's going to be less home runs probably. But
that's interesting.
There's also a larger margin for more home runs. But yeah,
it does seem like that evens the playing field a little bit, because I'm also watching the strategy of this and the guys pitching to him. You know, there were some guys that struggled pitching, too. And it's like they're all pressed for time. So I do wonder if the timing aspect of it would change it a little bit. If we could get better angles on everything, too. If you just go with every time you don't hit a home run, it's an out instead.
Well, and elaborating off of that, I mean, Soto's pitcher did not do great. But that also would have given Pujols a better opportunity. I mean, how do you expect a 40-however-year-old man to compete with young 20 bucks?
Oh, man, that was crazy. That was absolutely nuts. I thought there was no way, and then look what happened. Wow.
I told
your guy,
you. To,
your guy almost took it, man.
I told you, look out for J-Rod, and he competed.
Dude, how many did he hit in that first round?
Was 32.
32?
Yeah. He almost set the record. The record's 35.
I knew Alonso was in trouble. I was like, oh, he's got him in the second round. He's not slowing down. He's so young. He'll be fine. So I had a feeling at that point when I saw 32 go up.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing is that Alonso struggled in the second round, but he still hit 25 home runs.
Right.
Like, that's ridiculous.
It seemed like he was bad, but he was actually pretty good. He's just that good that you expect a lot more from him now.
Yeah.
In these home run derbies.
Definitely was an above average round.
So are you more excited? What do you get more into, the home run derby or tonight's game, the actual All-Star game? Well, you might have a home run derby all in one.
Looking forward at it, I'm more excited for the home run derby. But tonight, I'm really excited for the All-Star game just because of the pitching. I really like the matchup.
Really?
I mean, I just want to see, in what other year are we going to be able to watch Shane McClanahan, potentially the Cy Young front runner, pitch alongside Shohei Ohtani and old guy Justin Verlander?
Yeah. I get it. I don't know. In this day and age, like, I used to be into the All-Star stuff a lot more, but we see guys joining forces with teams now more. It's something that, you know, I always thought the Pro Bowl was so damn cool in the 90s because, you know, you see they're on the same team, but they have their own helmets. Well, now they're all jumping around. I mean, you see superstar after superstar joining forces. You see it more like in the NBA, but you're seeing it at every sport. You know, if guys want to go join with somebody else to give them a better shot at winning a title or being competitive. You just see it. So I guess I'm numb to seeing studs together. I get it, though. I get the fanfare behind it, but no, I'll watch it. It's because that's all that's on. I mean, is there anything else going on?
No, nothing.
That's pretty much it, man.
What are your thoughts on the jerseys this year? Have you taken a look at them?
I haven't even seen them.
They're like, so the American League is black and gold. The National League's white and gold.
Let me Google it. Oh. I don't know. People ask me about jerseys and stuff all the time. I'm not really like, I'm not one of those guys that, oh, I can't stand the Oregon Ducks always changing up their uniform. It doesn't bother me. We got the Lonster on the line. Lonster, what's happening, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right.
You sound pretty good. You really do.
I'm sounding better, right? I had the COVIDs. Now I'm getting through the COVIDs, but it's still some residual COVIDs. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, really. You know what? Well, you sound better today than you did Friday. Friday, you did pretty good.
Friday was a battle.
A rough day. Yeah,
Friday was a battle, my man. But you know what? Just like the ancient war heroes and gladiators, I too must sit in this comfortable chair and bust through a radio show. The bravery of me is just—it's astonishing, really, Lonster.
You know what? I kind of get that way, too. But, hey, that's beside the point.
I'm not, and for those freaking out, I'm not comparing myself to a war hero. It's all in good fun. Lonster, what's on your mind, my man?
Yeah, tell you what, I'm more excited for for tonight's game than the Home Run Derby. I just cannot get into checking out that Home Run Derby.
I guess for me, it's like you hit one, you've seen one, you've seen them all before. It's over and over and over and over again. But, are you really excited about tonight, though? Or are you just like, I'm more excited than I was last night? Or is it just like, come on, let's just get through this and get back to Friday, get back to regular season baseball?
That's what it is. Yeah, just let's get this All-Star over with and get back to regular baseball again.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Hey, all right, I'm going to hit you up with our Method Flow Products poll question. Are you ready?
Fire away.
If the Broncos don't make the playoffs in 2022, this stems from our conversation yesterday. If they don't make the playoffs this season, will new head coach Nathaniel Hackett already be on the hot seat? Meaning he could be fired at the end of the season if they don't make it.
I'm going to say no.
No? Just too soon?
Yeah, it is. I mean, give the guy a chance and see what he can do. I mean, this is his first year, and we've gone through a mess, and that's all we need is getting rid of another coach and bring somebody in.
Yeah, well, 60% of the hooligans agree with you saying no. I guess the only thing I would say to that is, like, you've traded so much for Russell Wilson that if it doesn't work now, is it going to work next year? And I get it was a move for the future, too, but you have traded 3 first-round picks, some second-round picks, so you traded a lot of your future away, so you really need it to work now. I think it'd just be safer if they make this thing work right now.
Yeah, I do, too, and then if I don't, see what you need to do for some next moves and stuff.
All right, Lonster. All right, 12:18, I'm getting hungry. What do you got for lunch today, man?
Hey, you know what? So am I, man. I'm having some bean soup and some crackers and maybe some hot sauce to go with it, and I'm good to go.
Hot sauce, even on a hot day, you're still going for it.
Well, I've got the air conditioning on, so, hey, no big deal.
Yeah, if you're in the AC, it just doesn't matter, right? No, it's all good.
Yeah, that's it.
Lonster, appreciate the call, my man.
Hey, no problem.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. There it is. That's our Method Flow Products poll question of that. If the Broncos don't make the playoffs in 2022, will new head coach Nathaniel Hackett be on the hot seat? And Zach Stevens was on with us yesterday. He's my Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos, and he said it's playoffs or bust. So my new rule is if you say that to me, I'm going to ask, what busts if you don't achieve that goal? If you don't achieve the former, then what busts? And that's where it ain't going to be Russell Wilson. You've traded everything for him. I don't think it's going to be George Payton. He's been pretty good so far. And if you're a new owner, do you still want to settle in a little bit? Nathaniel Hackett would be the guy if you were going to make a big change if you don't make the playoffs. That's why this season is important. It's what happens when you trade a lot of really important assets for a quarterback or a stud player. You kind of feel pressure to make it work now.
Well, and that's what Zach had said yesterday, was that Nathaniel is going to be the piece that goes. And
he'll be the scapegoat. He'll be the scapegoat if they go that route.
Right, yeah. And the thing is that I don't know if that's necessarily the right move, because we've been going through our rankings, and you see where the Broncos struggle most is the receiving core. So why wouldn't those pieces move before a coach?
Well, you just maybe doctor it up there and go on the play on the personnel side of things. Maybe it's not a bust, but it's more of an adjustment. Because I got a news flash for everybody. As excited as I am about the Broncos, and I've already made my predictions, and I'm going all in on the Broncos having an easy schedule, and I said it last year too, but I think the Broncos will win the AFC West, but I think it's because they take a stranglehold early on the West. Their roster right now isn't the best in the league. you know, offensively. We're going to be going through the defense for the rest of the week. We're hitting safeties today. I'm telling you, Broncos need to find themselves in the top two of at least two or three of these positions for me to feel better about my own pick going forward. So we'll get to that. Right now, though, Jades, let's jump over and get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Yeah, you know what? We'll just go with the good. Congratulations to Mr. Soto for banking on himself. I mean, it was a lot of money that he was offered. He turned it down and said, you know, I'm going to use the home run derby to increase my stock a little bit. Yeah, he just made $1 million. So he got a little bit closer to whatever that contract's ultimately going to be.
He's all of a sudden now within one. That's another one that's going to leave. And Juan Soto,
he's got it.
Puts one up into the air. He's waiting for another. Nope. Tied at 18, and another one to center.
I think he did it. I think he went to 19. I really believe. If not, this is 20, as a matter of fact.
He keeps going. He's down on a knee. He's got it. Bat is flipped sky high. And Juan Soto is your 2022 Home Run Derby champion.
Yeah, congratulations to you, man. Youngster, 23 years old. My goodness. The bad for me, Listen, it's not really bad, but I did pick Pete Alonso, and he was okay. I mean, he's that good of a home run hitter that even bad days for him are still good for most players, but he just didn't have it, really, at the greatness level yesterday. So Pete Alonso, I don't know. I had to pick a bad. The ugly for me, and again, I'm getting nitpicky here, the camera angle. I didn't have the pop for me as far as where the camera was, and I didn't like the angle, but it's always kind of how it's been. It's been right around that area. I don't know what you do to make it better, but in all this world of camera angles and 4 million cameras on the field and, you know, robots and stuff, I just figured we'd have something by now that would help us see the ball get hit, follow the ball along its journey, and see where it ends up. That was it. That's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Some prominent ESPN anchor is saying that the Melvin Gordon re-signing by the Denver Broncos was not a smart move, was not a good move by George Payton and the Denver Broncos. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Media days for the Mountain West Conference are coming up. We'll get to that. You remember, your boy Steve Adazio didn't show up to these last year. Jay Norvell's certainly going to go, right? Talk about all that and more. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios.
To be inside, you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Remind you guys about our friends at the Arc of Weld County. They have their annual pool party coming up very, very soon. It's a fan favorite for so many folks around the area, but it is an event for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, their families, staff, community members, and anyone who has ever attended in the past years. It's a relaxed time. It's a Discovery Bay, which is an amazing outdoor water park. There's something there for everyone, a splash pad, lazy river. I mean, that sounds pretty good this time of year when it's really hot. You want to stay cool. Three-story tall water slide, T-Rex-themed kiddie pool. If you haven't been out to Discovery Bay, you got to check it out. The celebration, it's the 30th celebration for the Arc of Weld County's annual pool party. And it takes place Saturday, July 23rd, this Saturday, from 6:30 to 8:30. share in on a bit of summer fun while also helping shed some light on this wonderful event. And again, benefiting individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. ESPN's Bill Barnwell said that it was a bad move for the Broncos to re-sign Melvin Gordon. That was a terrible move, according to him. They signed him for just 1 year, $2.5 million, and he's a 1,000-yard rusher, or 942, or whatever the hell it was. But he's evaluating personnel decisions by each team, and I guess you have to pick something, right? I mean, this last year would have been easy. Teddy Bridgewater, hands down, that was the silliest decision that George Payton has ever made. So far, he's been pretty good, but that move was awful. This year's a little different. I mean, what are you going to say? The trade for Russell Wilson was bad. It changed their whole outlook on life in Denver. So that was, whether you agree or disagree with the haul that they had to give up to get Russell, the Broncos are relevant again. They are being talked about. The national media is talking about this team. They are relevant, so you can't argue that move. So I suppose you had to pick a move. This is what you call nitpicky. You got 32 teams. You got to find something that they did wrong. And listen, this is why I don't think George Payton's on the hot seat no matter what happens this season. Again, I don't know, if you win like five games, everybody's probably on the hot seat, even Russell Wilson at that point. I just don't think any of us can fathom a world where that actually happens. Heaven forbid it does. I don't know what we're going to do. But I just, barring an absolute collapse, I can't see how George Payton is going to be in any situation where he's on some kind of a hot seat, because he's made a lot of great moves. His draft picks so far, so good. Some of the free agents that he's brought in have been very good. He's had great moves so far, re-signing certain players. I think the Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton thing, I know that they're not elite wide receivers, but he did sign them before we saw the big boom again in wide receiver contracts. So you got to give it to him there. I guess you're getting nitpicky here with Melvin Gordon. I was more negative about the Melvin Gordon sign when they got him, which turned out I was wrong, because I would take a 1,000-yard running back in Gordon. I just thought at the time Philip Lindsay was playing so well, and then you go out and you spend, what was it, 2 years, $16 million on Gordon. I thought that's a little expensive for a guy that was on holdout and is on the downtrend in his career. Now, hand it to John Elway. He's the guy who signed Melvin Gordon. I think it's actually turned out pretty good. He's had a couple of fumbles here and there, but for the most part, his 3 years, was it 3 years with Denver or just two? 2 years with Denver, I would say, have been pretty good. And you're getting him for 1 year, $2.5 million. That's got to be the biggest bang for your buck when it comes to a backup running back in the entire NFL. Yes, Jades.
My question for you is, if they didn't re-sign Melvin Gordon, where would they be at in the AFC West running back rankings?
They'd be behind the Chargers. I mean, you're flat out asking if Javonte Williams is better than Austin Eckler, and I think that's a hard discussion to have, because Eckler he's been in the league longer. He's had more of a career at this thing. So I love Javonte Williams, but then you'd be looking at Mike Boone as the backup running back. Maybe he's a formidable ball carrier, but with the Chargers, I would say they're probably above Denver, and that's the one position group that you're number one. We'd have a heck of a debate on it for sure, but because of Melvin Gordon, that accelerates this process, and the Broncos, because of that, they got two starting caliber running backs. It easily puts them at number one. We have more of a debate if Gordon's not here.
Well, yeah, totally. But I think they would also fall behind the Raiders, too.
Maybe, because again, you would be going direct head-to-head comparison between Jacobs, Eckler, and Javonte Williams. And again, I love Javonte Williams, but he's coming off of a rookie year. So we don't want to get too crazy as far as, you know, saying this guy is going to be the next Terrell Davis. I'm hesitant on that. because I kind of went all in with the Philip Lindsay thing. I thought Lindsay was going to be a special back. I still think that a different offensive situation for him might have proved to be better, as would most of the Broncos that played offense for Denver for the last 3 years under Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. But yeah, I think that without Gordon, that changes things. Now, is this the good fantasy move if you wanted to take a fantasy running back out of Denver? No, because you're splitting carries. But do you think that George Payton and Nathaniel Hackett give a rat's about your fantasy team? No. So this, I get you have to be nitpicky, but pick on something else, I guess. I don't know what you would pick if you're Denver. You're doing this preview. You're basically going through, Barnwell's going through and talking about each team's failure in the offseason. And to be honest, I mean, what was their failure? Their draft pick, I thought was, their draft was all right, considering they gave up all their firsts. You could argue that, you know, instead of taking, you know, Trey McBride, you had a chance to take Trey McBride. Maybe that's it. But they get Nick Bonito, which we haven't really talked about Bonito a lot. That linebacker out of Oklahoma, they took it, you know, late in that second round. Still think that guy's going to be something, maybe not this year, but maybe something special. And Greg Dulcich, depends on who you talk to, but Greg Dulcich, some put in the same category as Trey McBride. So, like I said, guys, other than Teddy Bones, George Payton has been flawless as a general manager. I really believe so. I think that him signing Teddy Bridgewater and then handing the quarterback decision over to Vic Fangio was a silly situation. And again, it's not like Vic Fangio was his coach. He inherited Fangio. But you have to, even as a manager, even looking at your head coach, you have to play to their strengths. And I think that when you look at Fangio, you go, okay, he's a defensive-minded guy. Is Fangio up to the task of handling a quarterback controversy between two guys that deserve some deep evaluation? Not that they're deserving of deep evaluation, but you have to, you know, you got to try to figure out the best of two average quarterbacks. That's what it was. We could argue till you're blue in the face who ultimately the better quarterback is between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. And, you know, I mean, that's a tough argument. A lot of people think it's Teddy, but it's not that easy. That's his worst thing so far in 2 years with George Payton was signing Teddy Bridgewater and then leaving it up to Vic Fangio to handle that quarterback controversy. That was it. 38 minutes after the hour, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available. Go answer at theholeshow.com. If the Broncos don't make the playoffs in 2022, will new head coach Nathaniel Hackett be on the hot seat? Is that fair to even ask that question? I'll read some of your comments on the other side. Also, Mountain West days are coming up, man. We're going to find out. We're going to hear at least more from Jay Norvell. I'm curious who the player they're going to bring to Vegas will be. But you'll remember, Steve Adazio didn't show up to the Mountain West days. He did a virtual deal, but he was in Cape Cod, I believe. And he cited personal reasons, if you remember that. But he said nothing serious. we had a lot of red alerts there, a lot of signals that were telling us that maybe Adazio was not going to be the right fit. That was one of them. 39 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Kristen Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. I want to thank On the Rocks Liquor for bringing us our game beer of the week each and every week. This one's from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins, Sippin' Lemonade Sour. You can pick up selections from Odell's or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-through. Come inside, too. Stop by. They're open until 10 o'clock every single night, 9 a.m. to 10 every single day. Bud Light has these new 16-ounce aluminum twist-off cans saluting your Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche. Stop and get yours today. Help commemorate that third Stanley Cup title at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. Second hour, I'm going to get to, we continue with today in the NFL, our AFC West preview, who has the best positions where, who's leading in the best positions group. And then once we're done with all this, I'm going to have it all written up and put up on our website, theholeshow.com. It'll be a deep thoughts blog that we'll have for you again. Along with you know, my Broncos record prediction, my 2022 quarterback tiers. We'll see how that pans out this year. If they all stay in the certain tiers that they're in, I'll be curious to see how that one goes. But I'm getting ready, man. I mean, poll questions are firing up on the football side of things. Today's Method Flow Products poll question is, if the Broncos don't make the playoffs this year, will new head coach Nathaniel Hackett be on the hot seat? So, I mean, we're getting into that mode, and it's a very important year for so many teams that we cover. You know, whether that's the Denver Broncos, it is, many believe it is kind of a playoff or bust mentality. Here's Lane texting in. First year is always a pass year. Division is a straight arms race. Sure, there will be a major disappointment, but we need to be realistic. This is a first-year head coach, new system, new players, and a team that hasn't made the playoffs during my five-year-old's life. That's depressing. And same with you. My kid's four. No playoffs for Gavrewski either, man. He said, be patient. Playoffs will be a big step. They're capable. I tend to go there, but there's got to be a threshold, right? There's got to be a record where you're saying, I don't want to waste any time. And I know I like taking time on coaches, but you have put yourself in a position that's not growing organically anymore, right? You're not, whether Drew Lock or not, you're not growing with a quarterback that's not being paid a lot. You know, Russell's going to demand a big contract coming up, and you know you're going to pay it, right? I mean, there's no debate there, correct? They're going to pay that contract, again, barring an absolute breakdown this season, because you traded everything to get him. You traded three first-round picks, right? Was it three first-round picks? Am I right on that? Three first-round picks, two second-rounders, and a couple of players. So you know, Noah Fant's part of that deal, and wasn't Shelby Harris part of that deal? Is that right? I think so. Drew Lock, correct? Correct, yes. So you put a lot. Now, the player's not as much, but this is it. I mean, you are saying the future is now. The future is right now. I mean, this trade was huge for Denver. This is no just like, oh, you know, we just moved on from these pieces. If you really believe in the draft, and some people, I suppose, don't know, but there, you know, it was two first-round picks, two second-round picks. Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, quarterback Drew Lock. That's still a haul. Shelby Harris, a good player. Noah Fant is still on the average side. Never really saw what he was ultimately capable of. And then Drew Lock. All kidding aside, I know what you have in Drew Lock. Although I will be interested to see if he can turn this thing around in Seattle. I was surprised that maybe a Baker Mayfield didn't make sense in Seattle. But nonetheless, sure sounds like they're squaring off for a quarterback competition in Seattle. But that's you saying this. I mean, I understand that this is also about the long-term plan. But because of what you've given up, you know, you don't have first-round picks now. You didn't have this year's, and then you won't have next year's. I guess it's just next year, but second-rounders too. And especially when you have a general manager that we're touting as maybe potentially making his money in the draft, well, you take some of those weapons away from him. You take four of those picks away from him. Does that hurt? In the grand scheme of things, it's not going to matter. A year down the road, if the Broncos are a playoff team, nobody's talking about a missed first-round pick or a couple of second-rounders. Nobody. I mean, we get through next year, and you're not talking about it anymore. That's it. So it's there's pressure on Denver, no question. Will Nathaniel Hackett? That's a good mix. Will Hackett be fired if they miss the playoffs? If they go 9-8. No. 8-9? No. 7-10? No. 6? You got to have that threshold. When do we look at this and say, wow, that was actually a colossal failure? Pressure on Denver. We're talking about CSU coming up, too. Pressure on CSU to get this right. I mean, I mean, I don't think their plans were to be done with Steve Adazio after a COVID year and a year. I mean, four games in COVID, right? And then last year, I don't think that was the plan. But that's how it worked out. And you had to turn the page completely, a completely different book, a completely different book that Jay Norvell wrote. Keep in mind, he wrote a book on wide receivers. He literally wrote the book on it. But you go from Steve Adazio ground and pound and defense and we're building brick by brick to ring the freaking bell. We got another wide receiver, bro. Let's go. I mean, that's this fun young style. Matt Mummy, dude, that guy is a stud. He's entertaining as hell. You got better for it in the marketing game, but you really need to fix things now. I mean, there's pressure on Jay Norvell now. Maybe not bowl game pressure, but CSU is trying to put themselves in the limelight here, and that's got to start relatively soon as we continue on with conference realignment drama. 12:50 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got today in the NFL coming up. Safeties in the AFC West. Where do the Broncos rank in terms of safeties? We'll talk about that next. I paired really well with Zach yesterday, a guy who makes his living covering the Broncos. I was step for step with him in where we ranked the Broncos on the offensive position group. So we'll see how I fare on the defensive side. It's the whole show. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
This is always the time of year. We say it's a slow year, but I really don't, or slow week. I don't really believe that because this is the calm before the storm. And sometimes the most entertaining stuff is that calm. And this is where, you know, all the football teams that I cover, that I talk about, I primarily push the Broncos, the CSU Rams, the CU Buffs, and the UNC Bears. Jades, for the longest time, I've gone into every season going, this is an important year. They got to get it right. There's pressure on Fangio. There's pressure on Drew Locke. There's pressure on John Elway. There's pressure on Steve Adazio, Joe Parker, UNC's Darren Dunn, Ed McCaffrey, CU's Rick George, and now Carl Durrell. Like, we've been doing this for a while now. And some of that pressure ultimately led to guys moving on. Steve Adazio was canned after 2 years and really two, 1.5 seasons. The pressure, he couldn't get there. Carl Durrell certainly is at that point now. Vic Fangio gave it. I think last year we did the poll question. Who's more likely to lose their job of the teams that I cover? And I put Ed McCaffrey, Vic Fangio, Steve Adazio, and Carl Durrell up there. Well, two of them lost it. 50% of the football coaches that I really talk extensively about lost their jobs. This year, Jay Norvell's not on the hot seat. Nathaniel Hackett's maybe on the hot seat. I don't know. I think it's weird that I'm asking that question, but it's out there. You know you've thought about it. If they can't make this thing work, then who's the scapegoat? Carl Durrell is got to be done, right? If they can't get this thing right, especially in a year where the Pac-12 is on unstable ground and you're trying to prove your worth to whatever might happen in the future. You're trying to figure that out. And then CSU, I mean, this is all about turning the page. Jay Norvell, there's no pressure. He could win one game this year. And I think people are still excited to see what he's about because he's laid the groundwork. He's laying the foundation of what to expect, not just from him as a coach, but as a man. We all know being a college coach is much more than X's and O's. It's marketing your team. Jay Norvell has done step one flawlessly, in my opinion. step two begins very, very soon. We got Mountain West Days coming up this week. It's getting exciting, folks. We'll be here for it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.